This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, May 11th. I'm Audrey McCabe. The Colorado Agricultural Commission is heading to the North Fork for its July meeting. The Ag Commission is a group of 9 agricultural leaders appointed by the governor and confirmed by the state Senate. The group's responsibilities include making recommendations to state leaders regarding agricultural issues within Colorado, developing policies for preparing and enforcing rules and regulations related to agriculture, and approving and monitoring the Agriculture Department's budget. The Ag Commission's bi-monthly meetings are open to the public. You can find the agenda and more information at ag.colorado.gov. Ouray County will conduct a full-scale evacuation exercise on Friday, May 15th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The county has developed a multi-jurisdictional evacuation plan over the last 2 years and has progressively tested it to ensure it works under real-world conditions. The county says that the May 15th full-scale exercise is the final step in validating the plan in a realistic environment. Ouray County residents are encouraged to participate and can volunteer to serve as evacuees, injured evacuees, individuals with access or functional needs, or other roles. During the exercise, residents can expect to see increased emergency vehicle traffic, simulated evacuations, traffic control points, shelter operations, and increased radio operations. You can visit ouraycountyco.gov to learn more about the evacuation plan and emergency preparedness. Last week, KVNF's Laura Palmisano reported on emergency medical services in Hinsdale County, the most remote county in the lower 48. As an update, Hinsdale County EMS announced on Thursday, May 7th, that it regained advanced life support status. The county said that after discussions between the medical director and EMS director regarding our new medical oversight under paramedic consultant Reuben Farnsworth, the agency is officially back to ALS status, with its advanced EMT captain operating at his full scope of practice. However, the county said calls needing paramedic-level care will still be intercepted by Gunnison Valley Health paramedics or helicopter ambulances, just as we have operated for the past 2 winters. In a rare glimmer of good water news this year, the Paonia Reservoir has reached full and is officially using the spillway. The Fire Mountain Canal and Reservoir Company posted photos of water flowing into the spillway on Friday. Shortly after noon on Saturday, Montrose police officers were dispatched to the 100 block of Spruce Drive regarding a man with a rifle. According to a press release from the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, 2 officers encountered the armed man and fired their weapons. The man was transported to a local hospital where he was listed in stable condition following surgery. No Montrose Police Department officers were injured during the incident. Body-worn cameras for both involved officers were activated and will be reviewed by investigators. The incident remains under investigation by the 7th Judicial District Critical Incident Team, and there is no threat to the public. Governor Jared Polis has signed a state budget for the next fiscal year. It had to address a $1.5 billion shortfall. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
Colorado's latest budget tops $46.8 billion. That's almost $4 billion more than last year. But lawmakers faced a major shortfall caused by ballooning costs and shifting federal policy. Medicaid took the brunt of the cuts. Reimbursement rates for most healthcare providers were cut 2%. Programs for some undocumented immigrants and people with disabilities are also getting trimmed. But when the governor picked up his pen to sign the 650-plus page document, he focused on the positives.
What I'm particularly proud of in this balanced budget is that the Joint Budget Committee and their colleagues in the House and Senate have succeeded in continuing to fully fund public education in Colorado.
Democrats say Colorado faces a structural deficit due to rising health care costs and Tabor restraints. They expect a similar shortfall and more belt tightening next year.
That was Ray Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. A new study shows a connection between the El Niño Southern Oscillation, or ENSO, over the Pacific Ocean and the amount of land burned by wildfires in the western United States. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez has more.
Researchers at NOAA and CU Boulder found that during years where there was an El Niño pattern, which typically means wetter and snowier conditions, there was less land burned by wildfire in the West. Conversely, La Niña patterns correlate to more acreage burned by wildfire in the summer and fall. Andy Hoyle, a research meteorologist at NOAA, says La Niña, which ended last month, brings below average precipitation and warmer temperatures.
What that tends to do is it dries out vegetation, which can serve as fuels to burn at a later date. And unfortunately, what we saw in this autumn and this winter and into this spring is playing out exactly as most La Niña events do.
Long-term forecasts show a return to the El Niño pattern this fall, but forecasters are anticipating a busy fire season in our region before that happens. Scientists say that climate change is likely impacting ENSO's severity due to warmer temperatures in the ocean and atmosphere, but it's not yet clear how that might impact wildfire season in the West. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Last year, the Trump administration announced a plan to consolidate federal wildfire response efforts across the western United States. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KOTO's Julia Caulfield has the latest on what those changes could mean for western Colorado.
The organizational structure of wildland firefighting in the region is shifting.
Last time we talked, I mentioned, you know, that our BLM fire resources were transitioning over to the Wildland Fire Service, but that there weren't going to be any major changes this year. Well, that has changed.
That's Derek Padilla, field manager for the Tres Rios Field Office of the Bureau of Land Management. He provided an update to the San Miguel Board of County Commissioners on Wednesday. The Wildland Fire Service is part of the Department of Interior, as is the Bureau of Land Management. While Padilla says some of the shifts are substantial, he adds they're mostly on the leadership side.
We're all going to have all the same resources. They're still stationed, you know, there in Dolores. We're fully staffed. So from that aspect, there shouldn't be any difference. Where we will see a difference, though, is that many of the authorities that were assigned to the local agency administrator, are being transitioned over to the Wildland Fire Service Unit Fire Chief.
That position is currently vacant, but Padilla says should be filled in the next several weeks. Essentially, Padilla says the shift is consolidating their wildfire fighting into one department.
The Wildland Fire Service is taking in all the Department of Interior Bureau fire resources under one umbrella.
He says the Wildland Fire Service chief will either be stationed in Montrose or Dolores. Their service area has not been fully defined yet, but it will include Department of Interior land in the region. That's BLM land, national parks, tribal land.
Anything that's Department of Interior Bureau land, you know, from Montrose south to the New Mexico line, west to the Utah line, and then over to Pagosa Springs would be potentially within our area unit.
While Padilla says the shift is a realignment in structure, for the time being, he hasn't seen any elimination in positions.
We've been told, you know, that we should be able to expect, you know, the same level of engagement and support from the organization. But what the unknown is that, you know, because these employees now are going to be also supporting, you know, the BIA lands, you know, and the Park Service lands, you know, we're not losing any firefighters, you know, but are they going to, you know, consolidate their time, you know, in particular areas that may be of higher priority than others?
Padilla says that is still to be determined, and BLM land in the region could actually see more support because of its proximity to private land in the urban wildland interface. The transition of fire resources from individual agencies to the Wildland Fire Service will officially take place on May 17, 2026.
That report from Julia Caulfield was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KVNF. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audrey McCabe.